I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. It's always a privilege and always an honor to be with each and every one of you. Just walked in as usual. And today I just want to share that this hour, this 4 to 5 hour, we have someone who wishes to remain anonymous who is sponsoring today's program on the anniversary of her father's death. And so we pray for her father that he would continue to rest in peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember him and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God with him today. She also asked for prayers for the health and well-being of her family. And so, Father God, we praise and thank you. She might be anonymous, however, you know who she is. And so we ask a mighty blessing on her. We ask, Lord, that you would bless her heart, her mind, and her soul. We ask that you would give her peace, your peace, Lord, that goes beyond all understanding. And we pray, Lord, for every member of her family, that they might come to know you, love you, serve you, and give their lives to you, Lord, so that they all can be together one day with you in paradise. So again, I just want to praise and thank God again, I would ask that you pray for her father's soul. We'll hit that again later. And also praise and thank God for the person who is sponsoring the program today, because that really helps us out. And it, you know, gives us a little breathing room every week when you get an anonymous donor. Not anonymous donor, any donor that calls in and says they would like to sponsor a program for whatever their petition is. So again, anonymous, we praise and thank God for your generosity, and we keep you in our prayers, and we certainly know that everybody will join in prayers for your father and all members of your family. Your father, who is his anniversary today of his death, and for all members of your family. Thank you and praise God for your generosity. I want to also open up the program. First off, absolutely no words. Obvious, that was pretty obvious to anybody that was there on Saturday for that surprise Jubilee party. Something that originally I was informed would be a tea, a high tea cake and all that, for to celebrate my 50 years of Jubilee serving God in the ministry. And then I heard, well, it went to a little bigger thing, maybe like a nice little dinner party. So the end result was overwhelming. I could have fell over with what they did. It was the mass. They had a mass there for me. One of my dearest friends said the mass, Father Keith Chelinski, my dear friend and longtime friend, Bishop McIntyre, Bishop John, and a bishop very close to my heart as well, dear friend, Bishop Joe Coffey. So that really grabbed my heart. The most important part of my entire day was a magnificent mass and all the priests that were there on the altars. I looked up there and my heart was overwhelmed, and that's the only word I could use. I heard one of my dear friends who was on the altar, a priest, Father Mike, he said he was sitting there and looking over. He said, "I was so visibly overwhelmed." He said, "I'd never seen you." I mean, my tears were tears of great joy, but also like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe, you know, that this is happening to such a degree. And then my bestie, my sidekick here for so many years, my bestie as my friend as 15 years, of course, Father Dermot Roche, SMA, and who is the provincial. So he's very Reverend Dermot Roche, SMA father. So again, his homily was just absolutely superb. I think not only spoke to my heart, but the way he broke it down in three parts, I think it spoke to his brother priests, the bishops, and everybody in that chapel. And I must say, my heart rejoiced when I walked in there and saw that they had the old original chapel that I had spent so many, many years in that chapel at the seminary, praying for priests and at different events. So to start me off that way with a mass said for me, my dear, dear, dear friend, Keith, Bishop Keith Chelinski. Really, it just all moved my heart. And I guess I did look overwhelmed, because I was. And I remember coming back in. They took all family pictures right after the mass, and then I was brought in to head into the dining room or the hors d'oeuvre room first. But I never got that far. I didn't even have a chance to greet people or to say hello, except the ones that were standing right in front of me when I walked in. And one of the first persons I saw, the people that were right in front of me, I did have a chance to say hello and give them a hug. And when I walked into the dining room, the first person I saw was J.E., Mr. Wolfington. And he had open arms, and I went over. It was a very poignant moment. And I remember putting my hands on his face. And I looked over and saw the cross right to the side of my face on the wall in front of me, but there on the side. And looking up, and there was a light, one of those circled lights, and it was right over Mr. Wolfington's head. And I was so overwhelmed, I'll tell you, when I looked at that. And I just put my hands on his face. I don't even know what he said, but I know why I reached up. And he is, you know, one of the guests there, and a really beautiful friend of mine, Tricia. She said she didn't notice that at first either, but that was like a halo over his head. And she described him as a giant man of faith, I think she called him. And I said, what a fitting title. And it was so. And I'm blessed to be able to call him friend. So when I saw him there, my heart rejoiced. He was the first person God brought right to me. And I can't talk for him, but I'll talk for myself and say that was truly a very special moment of us coming together. And I praise God and thank God for everyone that was there, those that I was able to see, and some I never even knew were my own accountant from my ministry. And it was all about ministry. And for 50 years, even people I had started prayer groups 50 years ago, and four of them are still with us, and they were there. And one of them was not in her 90s and looked fabulous. And it was just so powerful. It was so moving to me. So again, I want to thank Martin and Tara. Magnificent job, down to every single detail. I couldn't believe it. All the names on the tables, the flower displays in the altar and the church and the chapel, rather, and then all the windowsills and all along the dining room was set up, was breathtaking. And my nephew and my niece and my nephew, her husband, my niece did the singing, and my nephew did the music. And that everybody said in the church, it sounded like choirs of angels. And that was Rich Grillione and my niece, Michelle, his wife. And again, they surprised me so much. Here they knew I loved the string band, and they had a string band play a segment of it. I mean, it was just mind-boggling, really. Every single thing. I don't want to go into it all and waste the time, because I'm sure that you want to hear the program today. And we cannot yet take calls at all. The part we still have not received yet. It was a different part than we originally thought. They came in, they went over the system, and they don't even make that part anymore, the company that did. So they found out somewhere that does, and they have ordered it, but it has not come in yet. Now, I guess with all the snow and so forth, maybe wherever the distributor was trying to get it here to Pennsylvania, we still have not been able to get it in and installed yet. So please be patient. Hopefully Tuesday, I'm praying, but it might not be. I don't know how long it will take. They're trying to locate it. Gives you some idea how much we really do need some new equipment. But I just want to praise and thank God for all of you, for your prayers, your love, your fidelity. I remember coming out from the Mass, and I remember looking up and saying, Lord, if you call me home right now, I would be just so prepared, just receiving Holy Communion and the magnificent Mass. And then to see the room fill with like 212 people took my breath away. So I did make that remark, and I could hear my children say, Mom, don't say that. But it was truly beautiful. And Tricia put something up on her Facebook and then tagged me in mine, so many of you have seen it. Honestly, and one of my favorite things was Bishop Joe Coffey presented me with a papal blessing, and the wording on it just stole my heart. And there's so many people I wanted to thank, but this short hour, I'll just say Zach, the girl's brother-in-law, they put a team together, and once again, their family members hopped in there, Jennifer and Mary, who's Zach's husband, who is Zach's wife, and he did all the emceeing. Joe Bradley, all the filming of it. I mean, it was magnificent. So I can only say I will carry that day with me for the rest of my life, however long that is on this earth. It was unbelievable to be presented with a beautiful frame, the beautiful apostolic blessing, and the wordings on that blessing. You could even hear the people. Bishop Joe read it, and you could hear the wording when Pope Leo's wording on it was a lot of beautiful things, but it ended up by saying, I place you under the mantle, or under the care, however the word is, I don't have it in front of me, of the Blessed Virgin Mary and your ministry. That was just took my breath away. And then to hear Father DeLacy, I almost felt he spoke so powerfully and so anointed, but it was more like I felt like I was dead listening to my eulogy, just for a regular person sitting there. It was absolutely beautiful. Such love and respect for how they put that together. Hard work. I want to thank Wendy Kelly, who was part of the team there. And of course, I have to say this, and then I'll close it, was that booklet. I can't go into the details about that, but I could only say, Mary B., what they did with that booklet was inspirational, and it was also extraordinary piece for a booklet for a mass and the 50 jubilee. So again, I'm probably going to miss a lot of people. When my two sons, my son Sean, they were designated out of all the kids, they would be the two to speak, and each one of them spoke a good time. And as I listened to the words of Sean and my son Brian, I sobbed at that table because they were asked to speak on their mother. And I'll tell you, it was overwhelming. My heart was pierced, but pierced out of love. I just am so grateful for all of those who listen, watch, support me. I always say you brought the best out of me in my ministry. It's you who bring the best out of me. So all those things were for you too. Because you, all of you, whether you're listening on the air, whether you're watching live, all of you, I say it time and time again, my voice would be silenced if it wasn't for you. So praise and thank God. For now, it's all I'm going to say, because we have only an hour today. So let me get into what the Lord is doing. Let me pull this up. And as usual, I'm going to speak on the gospel. And again, how blessed, truly blessed. No words at all that I can say So praise and thank God. I don't know why my, you know, I don't know what it is, but I was, my back was out for an entire week. I didn't want to say anything. I mean, over a week. I was flat on my back. I was in the emergency room the night before for the back. And yet God gave me the grace to be able to stand up and be there. And at that Jubilee, all that hard work, all the love, all that went into that. So I am, actually, I am forever grateful. So praise and thank God. Let me get into the gospel this way because for some reason it isn't opening up for me. I would ask you to pray for somebody in our family that is very close to my heart. It's my daughter-in-law, Chrissy's mother's husband, George, who is grandpa to some and pop to all the grandchildren. So he's a beautiful man, and he's very close at this moment, taking his last breath on earth, that God might breathe new breath into him for eternal life. And I pray that also for my beautiful friend, Chrissy's mother, George's wife, Debbie. You had the presence of mind to send me a text so beautifully today and yesterday about the Jubilee. How you even could think of that shows the character of you and George. I want to praise and thank God that you gave your daughter, you and her father, to my family. And we love her. I couldn't love her more if I gave birth to her. So I am praying for everything that's going on there at the moment in Kentucky, and know that you're in our hearts and prayers. And I just want to say, may the mercy of the eternal God and his love and peace flow through George, and may the angels carry him home, and that he might too rest in eternal peace with the living God, that he might be received with open arms. And please pray for George Sims, and for peace for his beautiful friend, his beautiful wife, Debbie. All right. This is all this going on that I didn't really have time to pull up this thing, and it's not coming up on my... So let me pull up the gospel today. Here we go. So this is Thursday the 29th, living in the light of God's truth and wisdom. So the gospel is from Mark 4, 21 to 25. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Take heed of what you hear. The measure you have given will be given back to you, and still more will be given to you. For to him who has, more will be given, and from him who has not, even that which he has taken will be taken away." And that is the gospel of the Lord today. So we praise and thank God for his holy word. And, you know, lamps in the ancient world, they really served a vital, very vital function. The same as they do today, you know. We didn't have electrical systems the way we have today, but what light did was what it does even today to this very age. It enables us to see, work in the dark, you know, darkest of night. And light enables us to see and to avoid stumbling or losing our focus or our balance. Again, even to this day, that's what the light does. So we want to praise and thank God that the Jews understood that it was an expression of an inner beauty, of an inner light, and truth. And that's how the Jews saw that. That's how the people of ancient times saw that. The beholder of the eye that sees light. And for all of us, we praise and thank God in so many ways that we're light bearers. And you know, the Lord said that, how many times in the scriptures does he tell us that we're the light of the world? Why? We forget that he says we're the light of the world. He says he's the light of the world. And then he tells us we are the light of the world to go out and bring him to the world. The light of Christ that dwells within us. He wants us to come out of our comfort zones. Get off our couches. Get off of our televisions and the phones in these days. Get out there and focus yourself on the light of Christ within you, so that you can give that light to others wherever you go. There's so much darkness in the world today. I don't have to tell you that. You're aware of it. God's light is the light of truth. It shows the light. He says, I'm the light of the world. The light shows his way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we walk in his light, when he says then we're the light coming out, we're his hands, his feet, and his voice. What an amazing gift that is from God to us. What a gift of that is to realize that the light of Christ, Jesus Christ himself, the living Word who became flesh for us, comes within us and dwells with us, so that we can bring his light forward, that we can bring the light into all the darkness in the world today, all the hate. I'll tell you, in my lifetime, I never thought my country, the United States of America, would hate one another. So many would be filled with darkness in this time, and evil in this time, and no respect for life. From the womb to the tomb, just no respect for life. And it's not about politics. It's about sin. And anybody that doesn't realize that really needs the light of Christ to be shared with them. You cannot hate your brother. Scripture says it so clearly. You cannot hate your brother. You cannot hate people and say you're a Christian. You can correct people. You can hate evil, but hope for the evildoer, that through the mercy of God, they would turn from hate to love, from darkness to light, from the culture of death to the culture of life. That's, you know, I can't help but think in this. Right now, it just came to my mind, Humanae Vitae. He was a prophet in his own time. And in Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI prophetically proclaimed everything that was going to take place if we didn't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us. Everybody in the United States, everybody around the world. And almost everything said, if you disregard the gift of life to the world, if you stamp out life, humanity, the greatest gift, it's a beautiful gift. And because of hating the gospel, hating Jesus Christ, what do? They try to sanitize his image out of society. And the most beautiful, purest form of his image is the unborn child in the womb. And look what they've done with that. When people, you know, so many people talk about the gospel. Nobody did it better than Pope Paul VI. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. I just want to praise God. Poor Frank's in there. I'm going on when I get started. He's finally had to tap on my window here to tell me you have to take a break. But I just want to go back to this because we only have this hour. Now we have a half hour left. I want to go back to the gospel today. And if there's something you'd like to say or you have a question or because I can't take calls, feel free to call the number. And somebody in there will take your message and bring it to me, okay? And if it's a question, I'll try to answer it. If it's just something that you want to say, I'll read it aloud. At any rate, I want to get back to the gospel, to the light, how we have the light of Christ within us. And I was talking about us, how we have to go out. Love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable. And today, in our world, as I talked about, probably one of the greatest prophets in our own time was Pope Paul VI. And, you know, even people within the church, I mean, they said, it didn't get the attention, in my opinion, that it needed to get. They sort of thought he was way off, but everything he said, if you destroy the child within your own body, you will lose all respect for life in all its forms. And that has certainly happened. I'd like you to pick up this week a copy and get it from the library. You can order it online. Pope Paul VI is, it's an amazing, just an amazing work that he did. It's not long, but it's truly anointed and powerful. And everything in there, if we try to kill the child within us, our kill our own flesh, pull it out of our body any way we can. Now we're so sophisticated. We have, I hear, a pill they can take that will abort that little baby. And people go on like, oh, well, nobody will know about it. Well, in the end, we'll all be held accountable. And what is hidden in the dark will be brought to light. Let that sink in and share that with other people. What we do in the dark will be brought into the light. And if we really stopped and thought about that, that is a powerful tool for the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession, where we can be completely forgiven. So once again, a light, we're told in the Old Testament, you know, and right on through these times in the New Testament, the power of light, you know, they see it, they saw it way back in ancient times the way we see it now. You can't suppress a light. That's the opening gospel day. A light is supposed to be put on a lampstand to stop you from stumbling in the dark, or so that you can focus on what you have to do, that you can work, cook your dinners in the nighttime, but yet have light. So they might not have had the great systems that we have today and the technology we have today, but they knew you don't hide a lamp if you you put it on. If you have a light, you put it on a lampstand. If you have a candle, you light it. That's true to our day. And we'll have to live through a couple of days of darkness. So be prepared. And one of the things that I wanted to bring out, you know, God's word is living and it's effective. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And it's only through him. Not even can anybody be saved without the name of Jesus. They have to become and believe in Jesus. And it's only the Father that can reveal his Son, right? Through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Each one points to the other. Jesus points to his Father. His Father points to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit points to both of them. He's the love between the Father and the Son. And he came upon the world at Pentecost to activate the Spirit of God within us and give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know. They will know we are Christians by our love, not by this hate, not by killing one another. And every single thing that was in Humanae Vitae, the encyclical, I'm telling you, you could Google it, you could go to the library. It's one of the finest, in my opinion, finest orthodoxy you could find. And anybody with any common sense can read it. And then look back where we are today and say, this man was prophesying what would happen if a land, a country, a person disrespected God so much because he's the author of life that they kill a child, their own flesh and blood, kill a child within the womb, and voting on it, a whole nation voting on it that it was okay, even when it's been reversed now, because that is not what it was supposed to be. Everything that Pope Paul VI, who I loved, everything he prophesied came. He said, You will see, because of the lack of life itself, that people's conscience will be just destroyed. They'll start settling for all kinds of sin. There'll be a breakup of the family, of marriage. They will not, people will not be true to their marriage vows. The family will deteriorate, and divorce will be rampant. All these things that have happened since then, if you now in this age, 2026, look back to when he wrote Humanae Vitae, everything he prophesied has come to pass. And so I think people need to know, and if we can say them, not pointing our finger, but say it in love, that really what has taken place, we even hear it, we know, okay, you hear the word murder, you know it's, ooh, that's horrible. But yet, because of semantics, they change the word, they don't call it murder. They call it a woman's right. They don't call it murder. They call it compassion. A woman shouldn't have to have a baby if she doesn't want one. Really, she has to make a choice not to put a, make a situation where she couldn't get pregnant. And when there's something like, God forbid, a rape or becoming pregnant against of a violent kind of an act against her will, the child still to be born, God will bless that person and give a special anointing to that child's life and bless that mother and that father, if he stood by the woman, bless them 100-fold and give them what they need to be who they're called to be. Now, whether we receive those things is up to us with free will. But we have certainly have to admit that since Roe versus Wade, all the millions and millions of children, and we just had the March for Life, that have been slaughtered from so many. Even now, in our own country, remember this, it was even New York City was lit up with lights to celebrate when they finally said, even up until the death, the life of the child born, they could kill that child. I had three nurses, good friends of mine. When that rule came to be, they lost their jobs because they would not succumb to being a part of killing that baby in the hospital. So what is hidden in the dark? When we think, especially now, that little pill, take a pill, oh, it takes the whole sense of darkness and the whole sense of murder or evil, takes it away, because guess what? Nobody knows. But God knows. And if we can bring that message of life out in such a way, not to condemn, ever. God never condemns, but to convict, to be a light, to dispel the darkness in people's minds and heart and understanding, to know that to kill an innocent life within you can be called by semantics a lot of different words to make it sound good. But we're living in an age when we call evil good. And I could go into a whole thing now, but we really can't do that due to time. Things that are happening, you know, they're called good when actually they're evil. And when you can call evil good, we're in, as a nation, desperate need of God's mercy and grace. And so I just want to praise and thank God for all the ways, all the different ways. Oh, man, these earrings are killing me. All the ways that God is trying to get our attention. Wake up, church. And he's saying to us, step out of your comfort zones. Step out and stand up. Be a voice for good, true good, of the way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And we have to just go out and tell the truth. And he'll show people the way. But we have to be willing to risk our own comfort. We have to be willing to risk, what will this cost me? Will this cost me something? If it won't cost me anything, maybe I'll step out. I'm not comfortable talking to people about religion, or I'm not comfortable talking about abortion, or I'm not comfortable talking to people that disagree with me. Well, guess what? There's one that's going to disagree with you 100% if this is your persuasion. And when we all pass, and every one of us, the only way we're getting out of this world is to die. And then we are called to give an accounting. Today we call light darkness. We call good evil. And we call evil good because we put it in such a twist and we put such a slant of the truth that what they say is compassion. They lose any sense of holding people accountable. They let good people, put good people in jail today or in prison, and they leave people that are living in darkness, they need them out. There's something wrong, so wrong with our sins. It's just not in America. It's everywhere, but particularly now in our own country. We have to step out of our comfort zones, not to condemn people. God wants us to love one another, not two sides fighting each other and killing each other. Love one another. As I have loved you, he says. You think the Lord would ever agree to pull a person's limbs off, pull their heads off their bodies, put a syringe in their brain? Do you think God really and truly would ever do that? When they did it in the Dark Ages, when there was so many horrific wars, they did it to people while they were alive. They did it to Jesus. They beat him unmercifully that you couldn't even recognize him. And then drug him through the streets. And then in the end, nailed his feet and his hands to the cross. That's how our names are carved. That little, usually see that scripture and then the his hand with a pierce in it. I've carved you in the palm of my hands. How? Through those nails that were put in his hand. He took that for you and for me and every single one of us. And his mother took him from the cross. She probably couldn't even recognize him. He was beaten so badly. And she, her heart was pierced with a sword too, of sorrow. And so for us not to have the courage to step out of our comfort zone and speak on truth, to speak about the light who loves us unconditionally, that no matter what we've done, if we just call upon his name, that's all we have to do, call upon his name. Receive him into your heart. He will heal, forgive, no matter what the sin, no matter how grave. I have two divine mercies coming up. One I'm doing with Bishop Efren here at Malvern. Father DeLacy and myself. And then I'm doing one with him in Jersey, with the Bishop Ephraim again in Jersey. These are urgent times, my brothers and sisters. We're the light. Light dispels darkness. He says to us, go out into the world, make disciples. Tell them of my love and my mercy. Tell your story, what God has done for you. That'll be all you need to do. you need to do. Mike Johnson just told a beautiful story, you know, Speaker of the House, beautiful Christian man. No matter where you feel about politics, he's a good man. And he shared a story that he was an unplanned birth, an unplanned pregnancy. His mother and father were only 16 years old. And she became pregnant. And they were, you know, told by many different people, even people close to them. Their whole lives were ahead of them. You can't sacrifice your life for that, you know. But what did they do? They listened to those that gave them godly wisdom to confirm their wisdom. That father stood with that girl, his mother. And they did get married. And today they can look back and see how God blessed that child. Speaker of the House. From a little 16-year-old couple that said yes to God's will in the end. And God blessed them abundantly. My brothers and my sisters, you have the light within you. You have the light. Don't count the cost. If we counted the cost for every time we had with some kind of fight for good, real good, and we counted the cost, we'd never exist today. What we have to do is to be open to life from conception to the womb. One of my dearest friends, Sister Dee Dee, you know, she's a beautiful person, fabulous sense of humor, loved by everybody that ever met her, even if it was for 5 minutes. Surgeon. Colonel. Sister. Three of those hats she wore. And each one she stepped out into grace because God had another calling. You don't know what calling God has in your life. If you save one soul through the grace of God, working in accordance with the Holy Spirit to save a soul, what a place you'll have in heaven. For all those that are, and I think, I mean, we all can be pro-life. We can't always be activists in the pro-life movement. There's people that are caregivers. There's young mothers and fathers that are trying to, there's broken homes. And people can't always go and march. But they can always do something. We can always do something. I just missed my second march in all the years. I missed the March for Life this year. I was flat on my back. I couldn't even do my program. But I'll tell you what, I prayed. I prayed that the consciousness of America would wake up out of their slumber, that the light would shine in everybody's heart, mind, and spirit, and have the culture of death, that they might be enlightened to know that what they're really doing is not only destroying their own life within them, but they're trying to stamp out the very likeness and image of God, because he said, you are created in my likeness and my image, and believe me, what the Lord has laid on my heart all these years is that's exactly what they're doing. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in his values. They don't believe in his salvation message. And so they're not going to receive it. But one day, there will be an accounting. that innocent blood will cry out and has cried out to God. And I tell you this, until we take our last breath, God is working in us and through us to bring light into darkness, my brothers and sisters. Just to tell your story. You think, well, my story's not a big story. Every story that takes us from where we were, no matter how good we were as people, but to take us where we were to where we are now is grace. You know, my little vessel of grace, as I named her many years ago, while she was still alive, Maria Middleton. And boy, she was literally a beautiful vessel of grace. And she touched more people's life, even after she died. There's people that have come back to the church. I know personally of marriages that have been healed. I know of people's lives were drawn deeper and deeper back into the heart of the church, back to the sacraments. Even at the end, she offered all of her suffering up. For what? Many people look at her and say, that's crazy. But God's crazy about us. And what is insane is not to realize that you were created in God's likeness and image, and that there's so many in the world that are trying to sanitize Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, out of existence. We must tell our story so that others can see the power of God at work in our lives. Who are you? First and foremost, you're His. You belong to Him. He paid for every one of us. Paid it in full. In full. No balance due. Don't you think we can at least give Him an hour and adoration, or a half hour in adoration, or maybe try to get to a mass, maybe one extra day a week, to give us the grace and the strength that when we receive His life within us, we would have the grace to go out and share it, to bring light into darkness. You know how many babies are saved when people are courageous enough to tell their stories. Silent no more. Look at their stories. They had the courage to tell their stories. And thousands of people turned away from abortions, hearing from the mothers that did abort. My brothers and sisters, we are living in urgent times. Let us be silent no more, meaning silencing the truth or not sharing the truth. The truth cannot be hidden. We heard that today. Nor can it be silenced. Nor could it ever be destroyed. For He who is in us is far greater than he who is in the world. We know He is victor. And He will come to claim His own. And those who believe in Him, those who are following Him with all their heart, all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, believe me, we will rise with Him. I love you, and I mean it. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.